to talk about what Jesus would say to a young lady named Meghan Markle. And what I love, I heard, oh my. What I love is that I get to go somewhere and sit down. I don't even have to mess around with this because the other half, Miss Pastor Sonia herself, is going to be coming to the stage to bring the word today about what Jesus would say to Meghan Markle. So I'm going to invite you to put your eyes on the screen. We've got a quick bumper. Hey, if you don't know or have a clue of who Meghan Markle is, raise your hand. Okay, I'm glad. I see some honesty. Your hand went up so fast. I have no clue who y'all talking about. Girl, I didn't have no who she was either until I saw the bumper. Thank you. So I want y'all to look at this screen, watch what we have here, and then the next voice you hear will be Pastor Sonia coming to the stage.
Please welcome the lovely Meghan Markle, everyone. Meghan Markle.
We're looking now at the car that has the woman of the moment, Ms. Meghan Markle.
Prince Harry and Meghan were candid, quite candid and emotional as they spoke with Oprah in their first major interview together since stepping down from royal duties.
Good morning, good morning. It is so good to see all of you here. And I just want to say that I am personally so excited to be standing here in front of you. There's a few milestones that I want to mention to you here this morning. So first off, this is my first time speaking at Journey Church to the whole congregation. So I'm super excited about that, number one. And the second big milestone that we're having, Ashley, is that every one of the campuses here in the United States has a female speaking this morning. So that is another really, really big win that I think that we can all come and celebrate this morning. So I just want to say, first off, thank you to Pastor Kevin and Pastor Jolene for giving me the opportunity to come and minister this morning and share what God has placed on my heart. I don't take it lightly. And I know that there is a large responsibility here, but I am so excited to bring the word this morning. And I also want to give a huge shout out to Pastor Jay for always, always being my number one supporter. Yes, my number one supporter. Thank you, Ethan. He always encourages me. He speaks the best. And he sees the best in me, and he also always pushes me to go one step further than I'm comfortable with, but that he knows I'm able to do. And here I am. So praise God, praise God. I'm just so super excited to be here this morning. So today I am tasked and asked to talk to you all about Meghan Markle. And Pastor Jay just said a moment ago, like, who's never heard of Meghan Markle? So that was kind of me before I started studying for this. I knew a little bit about who she was, but very, very little. So I'm going to help catch some of you guys up on who she is, what she's done, what she represents, and maybe give you a little bit of perspective on her. But before I do that, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about who I am. And those of you guys who know me, and Pastor Jay even said when he was first getting to know me, he's like, I'm nice. And once, you know, if you're open, I love everybody. There's nobody that I meet that I'm like, oh, I don't think I want to get to know you. Like, I literally, genuinely, I want to get to know each one of you guys, and I love each one of you guys. But I'm kind of a girly girl. And so, like, I didn't grow up playing a whole lot of sports. Like, my mom, I'll attribute some of that to my mom because she's like, no, Sonia, you're going to hurt yourself. No, don't do the sports because you might hurt your leg. And what if you hurt your leg? Like, just super overprotective of me. I love you, Mom. But that has helped create me to who I am today. But when I was younger, I always dreamed of being a princess. And so most, like most young girls, you know, my age especially, we would watch, you know, Little Mermaid, Cinderella, Aladdin, and all of those had characters that were princesses or represented princesses. And so I had back in the day, my little VHS collection. Anybody have VHS collections? Okay, I'm telling my age just a little bit right now. And so I had my VHS collections, and I would, pick up my movie for that day, and a lot of them contained those princesses. And so I always dreamed of, like, what it would be like to be a princess. And I had my mom get me pajamas that looked like the princess, like the Secret Garden, and like all of that stuff. And so I was totally consumed by that life, so much so that I begged and begged my parents to get me a canopy bed. So I don't know if you guys know what a canopy bed is, but a canopy bed has those like large poles that come in every corner. And the reason why I wanted a canopy bed so that I could drape, like the sheer drapes around it. Well, so I convinced my parents finally to get me a canopy bed, and I was so excited to get that. And I never got the sheer drapes, but I took my sheets and made myself a little princess castle bed, okay? So you make do with what you have. But much like myself, there was another young lady that really was literally about my age. She was born just a year older than I was, or a year before I was, and her name was Rachel Meghan Markle. And she was born to a fairly average family. Her parents were in an interracial marriage. Her dad was a Caucasian man, Thomas Markle. He worked in production and lighting in Hollywood. So maybe not so average on that side. Most people aren't working in Hollywood. But her mom was a social worker and African-American lady. And so she grew up, you know, pretty average home by the age of six. Her parents had gotten divorced, and so she had experienced some of that also influenced her life. But I want to kind of talk to you about who she was and what she represented. And most of us know her, probably if you paid a whole lot of attention to the bumper. Most recently, we know that she got married to royalty. Do you guys know who she married? Prince Harry. So she married into royalty, and this was a big, big deal. So in 2018, she got married to her prince. And all of the joy that comes with that, and for any wedding, you know, hers was a little bit more grand than most of ours, you know, than most of what we experience. But she had a beautiful, beautiful day in 2018. It did not take long, however, even leading up to this day for her, as joyous as it was, for there to be a little bit of conflict going on. Things got complicated fairly quickly. There were swirls of controversies of he says and she says in the media about who Meghan Markle was, what her intentions were, all of that, and we will get into that in just a few minutes. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But I want you to follow me on this journey. I'm actually going to rewind little by little, okay? So I'm going to ask you to follow with me. So right before, or as an adult, before marrying Harry, Meghan was an activist and an advocate. And she spent a lot of time advocating for those that are less fortunate and for women. So before she married Harry, she was a global ambassador for World Vision in Canada. She helped lead a Mumbai-based charity that employs impoverished women to manufacture women's hygiene products and many other charities and organizations that she was a part of. She even founded a movement called 40 by 40, where she requested a lot of her celebrity and influential friends, 40 of them to be exact, to commit to 40 minutes in helping mentor a woman who wanted to re-enter the workforce after the pandemic. Her heart and her mind, she dedicated her time to helping those who were less fortunate. Let's rewind a little bit more and talk about Meghan as a teenager. As a teenager, she actually volunteered at 13 years old at a soup kitchen on Skid Row in LA. Now that's a big deal. So she did actually talk about her experience in volunteering at that soup kitchen to the Daily Mail. She said about her experience, "I was 13 years old, and the first day I felt really scared. I was young, and it was rough and raw out there. And though I was with a great group of volunteers, I just felt overwhelmed. I remember one of my mentors, Mrs. Maria Polia, told me that life is about putting others' needs before my own fears." And that has always stayed with me. And you can see that as she went along in life, that that is a quote that she continued to put, maybe even in the forefront of her mind, to say, hey, I put my own fears, my own needs to the side, and I said, how can I serve others? In fact, that wasn't even the youngest activist as Megan, as we know Megan. She did something at an even younger age. Let's rewind a little bit more and look at Megan at 11 years old. Take a look at her up on the screen.
It's the first time little Meghan Markle was on TV, and she was a firecracker even at age 11.
I don't think it's right for kids to grow up thinking these things, that just mom does everything.
For a social studies assignment way back in elementary school in Los Angeles, Meghan and her classmates were asked to watch some commercials and assess their messages.
Recommended by more doctors, pharmacists, and Dr. Mom.
It's always mom does this and mom does that.
In particular, a commercial for Ivory dishwashing liquid caught her attention because it used the word women.
Women are fighting greasy pots and pans.
And I said, wait a minute, how could somebody say that?
Even back then, Megan struck everyone with her easy charm and intelligence.
Just about one out of every three commercials is gonna say something that's gonna hurt somebody's feelings.
So Megan took pen in hand and wrote a letter to Procter & Gamble. And just look at that penmanship.
So I was wondering if you would be able to change your commercial to people all over America.
Here's the shocker. The company actually changed the commercial to say people, not women.
The gloves are coming off. People are fighting greasy pots and pans with Ivory Clear.
I heard somebody say, wow. Wow is right. 11-year-old Meghan Markle, before anybody knew who she was or what she was destined to do, wrote Procter & Gamble a letter and got them to completely change their entire agenda as far as advertising and who their market audience was and to serve some equality there. So, you know, to Meghan Markle, I'm 11-year-old Meghan Markle to be able to do that. So I think what Jesus would say to Meghan Markle, young little Meghan Markle, would be to say, get in the fight. You can make a difference.
Amen.
You can make a difference. And in the passage that I'm about to read in Isaiah, this is a passage where the prophet Isaiah was speaking to the people of Judah on behalf of the Lord, and it shares a lot of God's heart speaking to the people of Judah that I think that we can learn from this morning. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 1. We're going to read verses 11 through 17. It says, "What makes you think I want all of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I'm sick of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened cattle. I get no pleasure from the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to worship me, who asked you to parade through my courts with all of your ceremony? Stop bringing me your meaningless gifts. The incense of your offering disgusts me. As for your celebrations of the new moon and the Sabbath and your special days for fasting," in another version it says convocations, but we'll leave that right there, "they are all sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. I hate your new moon celebrations and your annual festivals. They're a burden to me. I cannot even stand them. When you lift up your hands in prayer, I won't look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen, for your hands are covered with the blood of innocent victims. Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of the orphans and fight for the rights of the widows." Wow. That is a mouthful right there. And if it wasn't a rebuke, if I'd ever heard one, some words of discipline, of love and discipline. However, I really want us to focus in on what Jesus would say to Megan, her 10-year-old self, her 7-year-old self, her 11-year-old self. He would say, learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of the orphans, and fight for the right of the widows. You can make a difference. And in fact, I'm going to ask you, Megan, please, please spare me the time and words of rebuke towards you, because I don't want you to waste your life and your time on all of the extra busyness that is not close to my heart. He says, spare me the rebuke. He says, stay true to the heart of compassion and justice that I have placed inside of you. And so often, us as adults, even young adults, we get busy. And there's nothing wrong. Hey, we've all got responsibilities. We got stuff to take care of. However, God wants us, and he wants to remind us that he says, being busy does not mean you're working. Being busy does not mean you're accomplishing things that are close to my heart. So you can go on and you can keep finding things to do, but you're not actually getting any work done. So I am here to encourage you as the church. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, what does that mean, Pastor Sonia? That means, look at those four things that were listed in verse 17. Can we put verse 17, that last part of the scripture, back up on the screen really quick? It says, learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of the orphans, fight for the rights of the widows. And I'm going to tell you, I got a text, and I saw on social media this past week, I'm going to bring it right down to home, Lake County. Did anybody see a message going out, stay home?
Yes.
Friday night.
Yes.
Stay home. Don't go out. So in case you don't know what I'm talking about, there was an email that was sent out, and hearsay that gangs, and actually we did speak to some people who were on the inside who did confirm there's lots of gang stuff that has been happening. Even this last week, there were 4 or 5 shootings, 8 people shot, 1 person killed, right here in our own community. And so that word got out, and that on Friday, everybody stay home. They were talking about they were shutting down bars, they were shutting down certain restaurants that people may be going to hang out and spend time with for other people. Safety. And I hear that, and that grieves me. We have a whole group of people right outside of these doors here, that need hope. They are orphaned, they are oppressed, and they need the hope of Jesus. And we are supposed to be here as the church, as the Big C Church, to step up and put our own fears aside and come and say, hey, I'm here. Jesus is here. I have the word of life and hope. And most of these young people that are out here on the streets are looking for acceptance. They're looking for safety. And who better to bring them safety and acceptance and the love of Christ than his people? I am here to encourage you. Do not let your fears overshadow the call of God that he's placed on your life. You can make a difference. Amen? Okay, Pastor Sonia. All right, I'm ready to go. Let's do this. What's next? All right, let's go. So I just want to tell you, if your attitude is like, okay, I'm not going to go to any extra services, I'm not going to go to any extra worship nights, I'm not going to do nothing, I'm not saying those things are wrong. I'm not saying those things in and of themselves are wrong. But when you step into the danger zone is when you replace all of that and you become so busy that you lose sight of what God has called us to do. So I'm encouraging you guys, none of that is wrong, none of that is sin. However, when you idolize those, or those begin to replace what God has called you to do, that's where you step into the danger zone. So stop wasting your time. If this word is for you, stop wasting your time, refocus, bring it back in. Amen? Yeah. We're gonna look forward just a little bit more at Meghan Markle. And when she married Prince Harry, the perception of her in the public eye began to change. Let's take a look at the screen and see how people viewed Meghan Markle.
I don't know if it's something new. I think it's you know, it's an added member of the family. It's another team player.
A new article published by The Times that claims Meghan bullied her royal aides at Buckingham Palace.
I didn't know much about him.
I know the royal family was something she found fascinating. She had one of Princess Diana's books on her bookshelf.
Oh, she had Princess Diana's books on her bookshelf, did she? No. I think everybody's got opinions. Everybody's got viewpoints, and everybody's got something to say about somebody. And maybe you feel like that somebody is you sometimes. Sometimes it's like, okay, why am I the subject of everybody's conversations? I didn't ask for this. So what would Jesus say to Meghan in the midst of her name being slandered left and right on media? He would say, revenge is my job, not yours. He would say, revenge is my job, not yours. See, her half-sister wrote a tell-all book about her. Her father ended up working out a deal with the paparazzi for a photo op to get a little cash. I will say that that was a big reason. Actually, there has been a fallout between her and her father, and that was a big contributor to that fallout. See, there were issues and clashes within the royal family between Prince Harry and Meghan and his family. All kinds of clashes and all kinds of opinions on who should have said this and who said that and what we should do and what we shouldn't do. All of those things, slander, 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 slander. And there's only so much that someone can put up with, right? Okay, well, let's see what Romans chapter 12 says. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 19 and verse 21 says, never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. Don't let evil conquer you, but instead conquer evil by doing good. Amen. 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 Has anybody ever wanted to take revenge before? Thank you for being real, Second Service. Thank you for being real. I know, because we've all been in those points, in those moments where you just feel like I have been beaten and bruised and used and slandered and talked about enough. Enough is enough, and I'm ready to take revenge. I'm ready to do what's got to be done. But according to Romans, that's not what we should do. We should be honorable. Well, Pastor Sonia, you don't understand. You don't understand, because I was ready to chop them in their neck. I was ready to make them understand. I get it. I'm going to share just a little story about me as a young girl. And as a young girl, I was I was a passive girl. So I was very quiet. And maybe I think maybe one of you guys might even have known me in high school. And in high school, I didn't have many friends. Like, I just was very quiet and to myself. I never would have dreamed that I'd be speaking today. So, but I was also always the passive one. And I had a younger sister. I have a younger sister who's 3 years younger than me. And she was hot-headed. She was very like, my way goes, no other way. Like, look, every turn was like reason to like slap somebody, okay? So I was very passive. My sister was more on the aggressive side. Even though I was 3 years older than her, I got beat up on a regular basis, okay? I know, it's sad, I know. So I was a bit of a pushover, but I remember one day, it was my turn. It was my turn to repay back, to repay for all of the debt that I had accrued, or that she had accrued, I should say. And I remember just going at it. It was not pretty. It was like crack, snap, done. You just pushed me too far. And the years, I'm gonna say years, okay? And I lost it. I quickly found out what consequences look like on that side. So I'm here to encourage you guys, to let you guys know that the consequence that comes with taking revenge is not worth it. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, it says, listen, open your ears, harness your desire to speak, and don't get worked up into a rage so easily. My brothers and sisters, human anger is a futile exercise that will never produce God's kind of justice in the world. I'm going to say that again. Human anger is a futile exercise that will never produce God's kind of justice in the world. So I hear two different sides of the same coin. I'm hearing human anger versus God's justice. See, human anger is not spurred on by God. It produces your own righteousness and what you deem to be right and fair in the situation. However, God's justice protects you from the consequences of when you decide, or if you decide, to take revenge. Because if me, decide to take revenge, now we've replaced God's place, okay? And now we got whatever consequences comes with our decision. Okay? So there is safety in being honorable and saying revenge is God and trusting God to see and to fulfill whatever he sees is best. He sees it. Don't think he doesn't see it. He sees it all. Nothing is hidden. Everything is open and bare before the Lord. And he sees the attitudes, and he sees the looks, and he sees the malicious intent behind whatever is happening. He sees it. It's not hidden from him. However, I encourage you, it's not our place to take revenge, because there's safety when we decide to be honorable. There's safety, and we don't end up having to deal with whatever consequences. And then God says, well, I guess there's nothing for me to do here because you've already taken care of it. So I encourage you, revenge is not our job. It's his. I know of an example of a friend of Jay, Pastor Jay and I, and someone that we knew, and she was abused by her husband. And it got so far to the point, they got into it one morning, and he promised. He said, when you get back, I'm going to kill you. Period. There was no question in her mind on what was going to happen when she came back home. That day, she went to work. I can't imagine the emotions that she was going through at that point. She got some things in order because she knew he was going to make good on that promise. She went to get things in order. She gets a phone call. Her husband had decided to go joyriding with two females. I don't know who those females were to him. And maybe they were speeding. I don't know what happened. But they got into a police chase. Police starts trying to pull them over. What does he do? Freaks out, hits the gas. What happens? Hits a tree. He doesn't make it home. He doesn't make it home ever again. God sees. And not every time does it have to be that extreme. That is an extreme example. But God sees and he knows. Don't think that he has not already said, I've got this. I've got this. I've got this. We just need to trust him.
Amen.
He's got the situations.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
See, Harry and Meghan, in January of 2020, announced that they would be stepping down from their roles in the royal family. Things had snowballed and become a lot of pressure for them, and so they decided to make that decision. Meghan and Harry at one point were called His and Her Highness. They were the Duke and Duchess, so that His and Her Highness got taken away from their titles. They remain the Duke and Duchess. But I want you guys to understand maybe a little bit of their perspective on some of the challenges that they face. Let's take a look at this video.
Was the move about getting away from the UK press, because the press is, you know, is everywhere, or was the move because you weren't getting enough support from the firm?
It was both.
Both.
I need to do this for my family. This is not a surprise to anybody. It's really sad that it's got to this point, but I've got to do something for my own mental health, for my wife's, and for Archie's as well, because I could see where this was headed.
They didn't want him to be a prince or a princess, not knowing what the gender would be, which would be different from protocol, and that he wasn't going to receive security.
What?
It was really hard. Look, I was really ashamed to say it at the time, and ashamed to have to admit it to Harry, especially. Because I know how much loss he suffered.
Uh-huh.
But I knew that if I didn't say it, that I would do it. And I just didn't want to be alive anymore.
The way that I saw it was, there is a way of doing things, but for us, for this union, mm-hmm. and the specifics around her race, there was an opportunity, many opportunities, for my family to show some public support.
Did you think she was well received in the beginning?
Yes, far better than I expected. but, you know, my grandmother has been amazing throughout. You know, my father, my brother, Kate, and all the rest of the family, they were really welcoming.
Your relationship with your father? Is he taking your calls now?
Yeah, he is. There's a lot to work through there. You know, I feel really let down because he's been through something similar. He knows what pain feels like.
That's some heavy stuff. That would make most people, as Meghan said, that she didn't want to live anymore. She said, this burden, this is too much. You see, they weren't getting the support from the family that they loved and that they hoped loved them back. Meghan said that she needed to protect her mental health. The pressures, again, had gotten to be too much. Harry's relationship with his dad has suffered greatly. I'll even say the quote that he said, My dad's been through something similar. He knows what pain feels like. And yet, he's feeling rejected. Oprah brought up, hey, is he taking your calls now? That's heavy stuff. Those are breaches of relationships. And when you feel, I'm telling you, when you feel the hurt from someone that you love and that you trust, and someone that has been part of your life for a long time, and you feel that they have rejected you or completely turned their back on you, that's tough. And you may even feel those feelings of like, I'd rather be unalive right now. And there may be a few of you people, a few of us that have been here at that point. Maybe in the past, maybe it's now. But I'm here to tell you what Jesus would say. He would say, bring your burdens to me. I can handle them. Jesus would say, bring your burdens to me, Harry, Megan, I can handle them. In Psalms chapter 34, verse 18, it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God sent me on a message for some of you that are here today. It says, trust me. Bring your burdens to me. I can handle them. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. You look tired. I think you could use some rest. Let me carry that burden. You have to give it to him first, though. You have to trust him to do it. He's not going to force you or rip it from you. That ain't how it works. You have to be willing to take your burdens to him. Yes, we have to surrender our burdens to Jesus. There is nothing too difficult, nothing too heavy, nothing too big for our God.
Amen.
Are you tired? Are you tired of dealing with people? Are you tired of dealing with situations? It doesn't always mean they go away. It just means that you don't have to carry them. Amen. We're not made to carry all of this stuff. God's made to carry them. Why do you think we end up broken? Because we don't trust. We don't trust the one who says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.